Let's do this, the Cult of Hockey podcast by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm David Staples of the Edmonton Journal, and I'm here tonight with Bruce McCurdy. Welcome, Bruce.
Hey, David.
How are you?
Well, kind of bummed out. It's already after midnight. Watch the Oilers get take another pounding, and now I get to talk about it and write about it for the next few hours.
I'm in a better mood.
I just want to go to bed.
So, yeah, sorry, Bruce. Where are you at in the game grades?
Oh, I'm up to about number 16 at the moment, so long way to go.
All right. Well, you can just, again, this is one of those one-liners is more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a better mood.
Like the Oilers, they were a one-liner tonight.
Yeah, that's true. That's my, we're doing the two good things, two bad things, two numbers podcast, and the good thing was the one line. Well, if we're talking about the same line, I thought the Nugent Hopkins line actually looked decent at moments, and that's about as good as you can say about the team. Nice, very nice goal. And let's go to your good thing, because your good thing is that goal.
Yeah. Well, hey, Milan Lucic scored a goal. I mean, we better talk about that, right? First one since, I mean, the last time we talked about a Milan Lucic goal, he was in Sweden. I was in Newfoundland. We did our long distance podcast after that game. Remember, they lost to the Devils. I mean, the one thing that I had in common, it came in an ugly loss too, just like tonight. But it was a nice goal. It was a really actually very good five-way passing play involving Jones, Larson, who both had very tough nights, but that was a good moment for them. And some very nice work by Puljujärvi on the boards. Fine pass by RNH to Lucic, and he really snapped it home on inside the short side post. Looked like he'd been there before. And he actually has been there before. It just hasn't been for quite a long time, 41-game scoreless drought.
Yeah, I'm not expecting a whole lot from Lucic. I do keep hoping that Jesse Puljujärvi will turn the corner. Mm-hmm. And so 2 points in two games, Bruce.
Yeah.
That's not bad. That projects to an 82-point season.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not at this point, it doesn't.
Lucic had three, you could lip read him, or at least I could. And he had three words, and they were the same three words I said myself, I think. And the first two of the three words were about time. I'll let you fill in the gap in between.
Gall darn was the third word, of course.
Yeah, something like that. About fracking, might have been fracking.
Freaking.
Started with an F, Freaking. I'm pretty sure.
Is that what he said? Good for him.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I do feel for him, and he's...
Although he's earning $6 million this year.
Yeah, so I know. But to see a guy completely lose his edge like that, it's been a sad thing to watch.
Yes. So anyway, that line I did think looked good, and Puljujärvi looked pretty good. So we'll see. It's the ongoing story. It'd be fantastic if Puljujärvi can turn the corner and if he's not a bust, as people are starting to fear. But, you know, there's signs every now and again, and he's certainly got the size, skating, skill package that could come together still. My bad thing. Well, what was your bad thing? Let's go with your bad thing.
My bad thing, I think I got to go with the Oilers' puck luck in this game. And let me preface that by saying, in no way do I think that's the reason that they lost the game. If it had turned 180 degrees, and if the Sharks had hit two or three posts, and if the Oilers had scored three fluky goals off of skates, maybe they would have been close. But the fact is that a game the Oilers probably should have lost 4 or 5-2. They lost 7-2 because of a couple of savagely brutal bounces. The first goal, and I knew they were in trouble because, you know, they're in deep against the Sharks at the very best of times. And the guy just passes across the slot, hits Larson in the skate, hits Jones in the skate, and it goes right through Talbot's legs, and it's 1-0, and I'm just going.
That's brutal.
I don't think tonight is going to be our night. And then... in the third period, they got in the second period, they got one where Evander Kane kind of turned his skate and directed it in. But at least, you know, it was a
pass. That was a good play by Evander.
It was a pass into the blue paint, and he finished the play. Nurse took his stick, but he can't, of course, take his skates. And he got on the right side of Nurse from Kane's perspective, not from Nurse's perspective. So that was a little cheesy, but you know, that was an earned goal.
Go to the net and good things happen.
That was an earned goal. And then in the third, they got another one or another pass. Like the guy snapped a pass across the slot and it hit Larson's skate again. And this one went right through Koskinen's legs. Different goalie, same result. Poor Larson, you could just see you know, him just sort of throwing his hands up in the air and thinking, man.
You could watch half a season, Bruce, and not see a goal against like that where from kind of the mid slot, it goes in off a defenseman's skate, but they're still with speed, like those shots ricocheted fast.
Oh, yeah. They were bullet passes.
And we saw two of them.
Yeah, two
in of one them. Night. So that was really stinky.
And then the Oilers banged a couple of shots off the post at the other end that might have got them in the game a little bit. But like I say, when you're outplayed and outshot and dominated in the possession game to the degree the Oilers are, you know, I'm not complaining about the result. I'm just saying it wasn't really a 7-2 game, and I think your scoring chances show it to be a little closer than that.
It was 10-8 for San Jose.
That's pretty close, really.
That is pretty close. It didn't feel that close. No. San Jose, there seemed to be a huge gap between the two teams. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of that, well, I don't know if it was score effects, but
they just
dominated that game. They just run the Oilers show, not physically, but intellectually, like their hockey smarts just seem on a whole other level than the Oilers. And they have all these smart players on that team who can really move the puck around. And the Oilers are kind of short on that category, Bruce, really kind of short on players.
The Oilers generated some on the power play. And I see you had a 10-4 at even strength and 0-4 on the power play, and that seems to be a little closer. Shot attempts, I know they're not your favorite shot stat, but they do tend to show which end of the ice the puck is spending a lot of time. And even strength tonight, the Sharks attempted 56 shots and the Oilers 23.
I don't mind it as shot attempts versus a team stat. Like when we're judging teams, just when you're like – I don't believe that Corsi is a very reliable indicator of individual play is my thing. But shot, yeah, they do indicate possession.
It's just horribly one-sided.
Yes. My bad thing, Bruce, Mikko Koskinen's glove hand. And Burns' goal, like he did walk in there, but it was from a little bit of it was outside the area. And Koskinen was in too close. He was he was too close in his crease. He wasn't out enough. And if he had been out another foot, he makes that save. So he's been beat almost every single game over his glove hand in the last last 10 starts. And that's not good. And that's not promising. I'm a little less... much less bullish on Mikko Koskinen than I was a month ago.
Yeah, no kidding.
Of course, everybody is. But, I mean, he still looks good a lot of the time, but he's getting beat consistently there, and that's a little bit alarming, and I don't know why that is. I haven't heard who's that dude on Kevin Woodley on Gregor's show talk about that. Maybe he has. I don't hear him every week. Mm-hmm. But it would be interesting to see what someone like Kevin Woodley would say about him constantly getting beat there.
Yeah, well, this is a 10th time in the last 13 games the Oilers have allowed 4 goals.
And brutal.
Tonight they were within a missed open net chance of both goalies giving in 4 goals in this game. So
the double whammy. What is your number?
Well, my number is +1, -26. And that is the individual Corsi, and I know you don't like it, but I don't like the performance of this player, Jujhar Khera, who had a terrible game. And that was mostly playing with McDavid and mostly playing with the first defense pairing. And the Oilers attempted 1 shot and the Sharks attempted 26 shots. I mean, it's almost unthinkable that, the play be that completely one-sided during this player's time at... even strength, which was almost 14 minutes. So basically for every minute that he was out there, the Sharks tried 2 shots and Edmonton tried 0.
Yeah, that when the numbers like that on Corsi are so strong.
Extreme numbers are hard to ignore.
Yeah, right? And Cassian and McDavid. This wasn't McDavid's best game either. No, it wasn't Cassian's.
They're getting graded hard.
And
those guys.
Kara
had one decent shift on the penalty kill, but then on another penalty kill, he got caught out of position on the Burns goal where he really didn't, you know, Burns.
Yeah, he left the middle of the ice and he might have been able to get a stick in the way or something like
I'm
that.
I'm starting to see Kara doing the thing he was doing early in the season that was driving me nuts, and that's turnovers inside of his own blue line. And he had, I count no official turnovers tonight, giveaways, but I counted two of them that were, you know, inside the line where he had full control and it should have been an easy play to get outside the blue line. And instead, it went to the other team. And that's chaos ensues when that happens.
Well, no one's ever confused him with Boris Mikhailov, Bruce. So,
you know, he was playing so good. And then he got that suspension. And then since he's come back from the suspension, he's just lost his edge again. And
he is kind of an up and down player. He has been that with the Oilers and in the NHL. So I think he is an NHL player, though.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I wonder about that line against San Jose again. I guess the truth is the Oilers just don't have the horses.
They don't
right now to compete with San Jose. And you need, I would have liked to see Ty Ratty with McDavid in a game like this, like a smart player who can handle the puck. Cause that's the game you have to play with San Jose. They are so clever, so good with the puck.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You know, going with Braun on that top line, it's not really necessary. They're not going to brutalize you, San Jose. But I'm not really trying to second guess the coach here at all. This was just a mess, game.
Speaking of Braun, both Braun and Vlasic sat out this game for San Jose, and those are the two guys that are normally tasked with shutting down McDavid. And I thought without those guys out there, he might have a chance to light it up a bit. Poof, not a chance.
No, they have so many good players on that team.
Yeah, and he was in chase mode for way too much for this game. Mind you, I mean, with his line mates were struggling and his whole line did, and just wasn't their night.
My number is 2, and it's one of the reasons I'm not so down tonight.
Okay.
The first reason is my daughter's team, which I coach, beat Fort Saskatchewan tonight. So,
oh, sweet.
They're a very good team. So that was, and we had lost a few in a row. So that was a big win for the team.
Nice. Okay.
And secondly, it's always good to have a win heading into Minor Hockey Week, Bruce, which starts this coming weekend in Edmonton, the world's best and one of the biggest minor hockey tournaments. The other, the N2 is the number of points that the Oilers are now out of a playoff spot. The wild card spot. Let me just check that to make sure I'm right about that.
Oh, it seems like it should be more like 10.
Well, that's why I'm in a kind of a good mood, Bruce, because they're as much as they have lost. Let me just make sure of this before I get.
I know they're 14 points out of third in the Pacific because that's San Jose, and they were 12 points up going into tonight.
There's been some real separation, eh?
Oh, 14 points. That's, I mean, they're gone. The wild card is the only shot the Oilers have. There's no, Vegas has roared right up there. And San Jose has taken off and Calgary's taken off. And I don't think there's any catching those three teams.
Okay, so Minnesota has 45 points there in the final wild card spot. Colorado has 48 there in the first wild card spot. Anaheim 45 is tied with Minnesota. Right. Vancouver 44, Edmonton 43.
Wow.
So, Bruce, they're only 2 points out of the wild card spot, the Oilers. For all that's gone wrong this year and for how poorly they played that game, they're still just 2 points out. And if they can get on a roll, they can make the playoffs. And so we're, you know, as an Oilers fan, you kind of count the season. Okay, when did you officially – forced to give up hope.
Yeah.
And usually there were some seasons when it was late November, early December, right? Those were the really, really wretched seasons.
Yep.
what was it last year? It was about
right after Christmas, early January. They came back from Christmas in half decent shape, and they went 1-6-1, and they just fell right out of the race.
Yeah. So this time
of last year, they were gone.
Last year, the whole division was better. This time, they're still in there, Bruce. It's getting to be closer to the middle of January than the beginning, so maybe we'll push it. And again, I've been saying this, if they can just, you know, let's just keep pushing it, and hopefully they're in there right at the end of March, early April, and can fluke into the playoffs. Still have my hopes up.
So they're 2-8-0 in their last kind of in their last 10 games. They're 2-8-0. They had the 6-game losing streak, of course. They won a game. They went out into LA and got absolutely crushed. They won a game. They went into San Jose and got absolutely crushed. I mean, you got to put wins together, especially after you've put so many losses together. You've got to start gluing some wins together. And two times on this road trip, you know, it was just they were yo-yo the whole trip, or a bungee, you know, up one game and then brutal the next.
Alrighty. Let's leave it there, Bruce. Thanks for talking tonight.
Yeah, we'll have to take 2-2 on the road trip and build off of that. Anyway, home we are on Thursday night, and we'll talk to you again then. Thanks for listening, everyone.
And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.